This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? Well, Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs, and how travel advisors can snag secret perks you didn't even know to ask for, or how to get real value from points, not just a tiny reward at checkout. Travel smarter and spend less with help from Nerd Wallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
And welcome to the Frommer Travel Show. I'm your host, Pauline Frommer. I'm going to start today's episode a little bit differently. I want to give a little bit of recent historic context to my next guest so that we can talk more about the future, but the future is rooted in the recent past. So, as I'm sure everybody remembers, within the last year, there has been a surge of ice activity in the state of Minnesota, specifically in the Twin Cities. ICE labeled that surge Metro Surge. They brought 3,000 ICE agents to the Twin Cities. And to me, this was a bizarre move. Because if you know anything about federal statistics, Minnesota has about 2.1% population of undocumented immigrants. That is half the national average and far less than you will find in Texas or California or Florida or many other states. So to see this kind of surge in a city where it's not a big issue seemed odd. Then we saw a number of tragic events coming from this surge. Two Twin Cities residents, Alex Preddy and Renee Good, were killed by ICE. And at this point, nobody has been brought to justice for that. There were many acts of violence, and we saw lots of videos flooding the internet about those. And because of that, tourism dropped. And it's hard to think that that is as important as the other issues that I was discussing, but that really affects people's livelihoods in Minnesota. In fact, I was recently in January, I was at the International Media Marketplace where journalists meet people from the industry. And I had a long talk with a representative from Minnesota. And I said, what can we do to bring tourism back? Because Minnesota's such a wonderful state, one of my personal favorites. And he said back in January, now isn't the time, but it soon will be. Well, it is now the time to go back to support Minnesota, help them rebuild, to discuss all of that, and more importantly, to look to the future, to discuss why we should be visiting Minnesota this summer, this fall, this winter, and well into the future. I have Lauren Bennett McGinty on the line. She is the executive director of Visit Minnesota. Hey, Lauren, thank you so much for appearing on the Frommer Travel Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So what do you say to people who did see all of those videos of people's windows being broken and protests and other things that don't scream vacation?
So I think it's important to recognize that we as a community really banded together and we supported one another through a very difficult time. I don't think any of us would be in the place we are without the neighbors that we have in our communities. And it was an impact throughout the entire state. So tourism businesses, hospitality businesses, but all different kinds of people, all different kinds of immigrants were really part of this. And so I think it's important for us to understand that, that it wasn't just a metro issue. It wasn't just a small subset. It was almost everyone in the state was somehow impacted by this. And so when we talk about the impact to tourism, we're really talking about the impact to local communities and what it means to have your employees be afraid to come into work or people be afraid to leave their homes because they don't want to be stopped or they don't want to live in that fear out in the world. And so for us, we really took care of each other at Explore Minnesota, but we also focused on how can we support these communities and our neighbors and our friends who are in hospitality? How can we work with our colleagues at the various associations that represent these businesses to really drive understanding of how this has had such a profound impact on the lives and bottom lines of people's businesses without any say, right? This happened to us. We didn't invite it here. We didn't necessarily welcome any of the ICE agents with open arms. You know, we were really just sitting there and having it happen to us. And I think for us to move forward and talk about the resilience that we have as Minnesotans, especially in the winter, I think it demonstrated that you can be outside in the winter in Minnesota. You can be resistant and you can certainly show up for the people that you care about. And I think that that is a message that resonates both in tourism, but well beyond, and hopefully other people in the U.S. as well as the world saw that.
Well, yes, I think the bravery and the public spiritedness and the care for their communities of the Minnesota people really came through. I wouldn't be surprised if the people of your state get a Nobel Peace Prize this year, because I just thought it was remarkable how everybody banded together. And this is very shallow, but before I met my husband, I dated two guys from Minnesota in New York, not at the same time and totally unrelated, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the people of Minnesota, because those guys were such mensches, such lovely guys, very stylish, very hip. And that's what I think of when I think of Minnesota. So when people come right now, will they be seeing the protests? Will they be able to go out and have a great meal at a restaurant? Where are we right now?
Right. So Minnesota is really having a moment right now. And I think there are a lot of people kind of starting to notice that. Certainly there are things out there that might change perception, but all in all, we are not seeing protests every single day. We are not, you know, afraid to kind of leave our homes as much. I certainly believe that there are probably some folks out there who still are. But for the most part, Minnesota is a very safe and welcoming destination. And I think specifically what happens in the summertime is that we are out. We are soaking it all in. There are festivals and events and there are patios and you can bike all throughout the Twin Cities and the rest of the state. You can go hiking, you can go canoeing and kayaking in the Boundary Waters, right? So there's so much to do. And we really do want to invite everybody to come visit the neighbors that they saw on TV or in social media this summer.
Great. All right. Well, let's break that down, though. Let's talk about some of the specific places that you may want to go to. And if you don't mind, I'll start with the Twin Cities, since I know that the best. Not only is it home to the largest mall in the United States, the Mall of America, you have an extraordinary art scene and a culinary scene that is really next level. Last time I was there, I wasn't able to get a reservation, but you have a Native American chef who I believe has been on the list for James Beard, if he hasn't gotten a James Beard Award, who has really kind of flipped on its head what we know about indigenous cuisine in this country, but he's just one of many. So let's talk about the arts and let's talk about the cuisine in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people sort of hear, recognize how great of a food scene we have. It's almost our best kept secret, which is a problem. We don't want it to be a secret. Right. So you're talking about Sean Sherman from Awamni, and he has such an amazing profile here in the Twin Cities and beyond. Honestly, he's a leader in indigenous cuisine in the country. And he is educating people with his indigenous food lab, but all of his food at Awamni is pre-colonized ingredients. And it's some of the best food I've ever had, honestly. It's quite delicious. But we also have this wonderful sort of melting pot of cuisines here too. There are several chefs who have been nominated for James Beard who are Hmong, and they are bringing forward their family Hmong recipes that include some of the best sticky rice you will ever have.
Before we go any further with that, it's hard sometimes when you're listening to something, I'm not sure all our readers will know what Hmong is.
Right. So it is a group of immigrants. Minnesota is actually home to the highest population in the U.S. of Hmong immigrants, and they're sort of from Southeast Asia. And they have come over, many of them originally as refugees. And now we're kind of getting into some of the second generation folks who are here. And so folks like Yia Vang, who started Vinai, he's kind of built this really lovely following in the Twin Cities, started out as a food truck years and years ago at a brewery, and now he has this amazing restaurant. And so we have all of these family recipes from the Hmong community that have come up and really been introduced to the broader population. And their restaurants too feel like you're at a family meal, which is really lovely. So we have that. We have some really amazing pastry chefs here as well. We have Karen Tomlinson, who also just won a James Beard last year. So we have tons to celebrate here when it comes to our food scene. And I think a lot of people maybe are surprised by that. But it goes really hand in hand with the arts and culture. We have some of the best museums in the country as well. We have the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, which is a beautiful facility, and it is open to the public and free. And then you have the Walker Art Center, which is a little bit more special in terms of its cultivation of works of art. But we also have an incredible theater scene. We have a lot of original theater here, as well as some second runnings of Broadway. So we actually are just starting a new running of Six at the Ordway. And then we have the Guthrie, which has original plays, Shakespeare classics, and some other fantastic, wonderful things. Just last year, I saw Little Shop of Horrors there. So we have a lot to offer in terms of arts and culture, but we have things like opera houses in greater Minnesota too, right? And I think a lot of people just don't recognize that Minnesota is home to such a vibrant art scene. Duluth, Minnesota is a very arts-driven community. So is Winona. It could be because of the river or the lake that sort of drive this sort of feeling of getting down into your roots and understanding the nature around you. But all in all, I think we live in a very special place that thrives with both these city amenities as well as the rural communities and non-urban communities that are doing things like great food and great arts.
Well, before we leave that, Duluth and Winona, that's an interesting conflation you've made between the river and the art scene. And I'm not sure if I understand it. Is it because for many centuries, probably, there was a lot of trading on that river, which brought in the bigger world to those communities and thus established arts communities? Or is it something else?
You know, I think a lot of it could be that. And I also think it's sort of the way that Minnesota exists is really one with nature. You know, we are known as the land of 10,000 lakes, and we actually have more than 11,000 lakes.
Wow.
But we have the start of the Mississippi River, and it's a very, I was actually just there a couple weeks ago, and you go, and so many people are just sitting there quietly and listening to the river and kind of watching the world around them. And I think the connection that we have in Minnesota to nature and the understanding of sustainability and stewardship of that is really core to who we are. And I believe that that sort of lends itself well to a burgeoning art scene where people kind of take that inspiration and turn it into, you know, whether it's painting or theater or song. We just have this sort of innate sense of artsiness to us. And I don't know, part of me thinks it's because of nature, but...
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, and also you just have nature in a less adulterated dose than many other parts of the United States. I mean, if you go to, say, the Boundary Waters, there are many areas of that national park where you can't drive up. You have to canoe in. So tell us what you see with the Boundary Waters for this coming summer.
Right. So the Boundary Waters is really one of those special places that I think a lot of Minnesotans sort of use as their own personal pilgrimage. And it is very serene. You get no cell service, right? So leave the cell phone behind. It is funny when people go up there, they're like, I'm going to the Boundary Waters, so I'll talk to you in a week, right? It's very clear that you won't be discussing things with people via text. So it's easier if you're brand new. You know, you can have somebody help you. They have lots of outfitters, but there's also this ability to go and sort of do it all on your own and portage and kind of pack your own goods. And I've heard stories from both directions. It's one of the only dark sky sanctuaries in the world. And it's really just a beautiful night sky with all the stars. Sometimes you can see the northern lights depending on the weather and time of year. And it's really just an opportunity to see nature at its kind of untouched glory.
Right. And so you can go there. And can you have a vacation without seeing many other people, even in high season? I mean, that's become impossible in such places as Glacier National Park or Yosemite. Is that still a possibility?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's what makes it so special. We do a really good job of kind of controlling the number of permits that go out. And there's so many different spots that you can camp. And I think it makes it so you may never see another person. You might see a bear, but you might not see another person.
Yeah.
So it is pretty special in that regard.
Now, there are certain parts of Minnesota I have never been to, and one of them is, let me find it, there's an area that used to be used for mining and is now part of the tourism scene, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I'll mess it up. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, so that's Cuyuna. And Cuyuna is this beautiful part of Minnesota that, again, used to be mining territory. And now it is 70 miles of single track mountain bike trails. And it's really sort of nestled within the woods. It's some really interesting dirt, like the colors from the mine. It's sort of red. And it's really just this kind of unique place that has really blossomed in the last few years. And some of the really great stories there is that the community worked with the state and the city to build out these trails. But even more so, it's a whole experience. And I think that's why it's been really attractive to tourists. First of all, mountain biking and biking in general is one of the fastest growing outdoor recreation activities in the country. So we are attracting people from all over the country to come do these trails. And second, what's really unique about the Cuyuna Lakes area is that because they wanted to kind of repurpose this, they spent a lot of time thinking about what would a visitor do, right? You maybe don't just want to come and just do trails and then leave, right? How do we capture that and how do we create economic impact? And so you can literally hop on the trails from the downtown area. And then when you're done, you're there and you can go to a brewery, you can go to dinner, you can kind of go to the shops. And they've really created this holistic experience that welcomes somebody not just to the trails, but to the whole town and kind of Cuyuna Lakes area. And it's been really special to watch, and they continue to invest in that experience.
So this is a destination that really is for cyclists. Or are there other things? I mean, you mentioned shopping, you mentioned dining, but if somebody, you know, does not want to be on a bike, will they be happy there, or is this really a better place for cyclists?
No, I think it's something for everyone. So first of all, if you've never been on a bike and you want to try, as somebody who has an e-bike, I highly recommend, and they have rental options, which is great, but they also have paved trails, 100 miles of paved trails, actually. Yeah. So it's really easy to just try something new. If that's not something you're interested in, you know, that whole area is forested. It's very beautiful. There's lots of hiking to do, but there's also, you know, we thrive on lakes and rivers, like I said. So you can rent canoes. You can kind of just lay on a beach next to a beautiful lake. There's just so many different things to do. And I think certainly one of the components that makes it special is the fact that there's lots to do. And there's lots of arts and culture activities too in that area as well. So again, just kind of getting out and experiencing nature, but having the option to do other things if that's not something that you're interested in.
Right. Okay. Well, good to know. Good to know. And there's always special events in the summer months. The State Fair is coming to Minnesota. Tell me about that experience. And when is it? Oh, and okay. Before we leave Cuyuna,
yes.
How far from Minneapolis is it? Or how do you get there?
Yeah, so it's not too far north. Well, I say that. It's about 2.5 hours north of the Twin Cities. But, it, you know, once you're there, you have everything you need. So I think there's a lot of really great spots to stop on the way if you kind of want to break up the drive. But most places that you want to go to in Minnesota are not too far from the Twin Cities. So we love to sell it as a couple of days of extending your trip, just kind of get a little bit further out if you want to kind of experience some of the beautiful nature that we have to offer.
Okay, good. All right, now back to the State Fair. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, the State Fair. So we always say it's the biggest in the country, even though Texas is technically bigger, but they also are longer. So, you know, it's the details. So they have a longer State Fair, which means over the course of the State Fair, they have more people. But if we like consolidated down, we would win. Minnesota likes to be first, right? So, but our State Fair is huge. It is sort of this, it almost should be a state holiday, honestly, because I think there's so many periods during the 2 weeks that it happens where people are just not working, right? You're like, oh, okay, I'm going to get a lot done because I know people are out at the State Fair. And we have all kinds of really fantastic experiences there. And it's where this sort of micro version of Minnesota exists. So they've done a really great job in the last couple of years of bringing in some of that fantastic culinary experience to the State Fair. The person who runs the food program there goes to food festivals and kind of goes to all these different restaurants to find something new. They're almost like their own personal little Michelin where they're trying to kind of identify what the next big thing is. So we have all kinds of really interesting food. Most of it's on a stick, you know, for ease of walking around.
Like what? Give me some examples of things that are on a stick.
Literally almost everything. We've had, so I'm just thinking through, like I had mentioned, Vinay and Yevang actually has a spot at the State Fair, and he's had sort of his purple sticky rice has been on a stick, right? So, yeah, it's kind of this joke, I guess, at this point where everything's on a stick. Even there's sort of the Current, the local radio station here. They have music on a stick. There's just a lot of things. It's just, you know, here's what's happening at the State Fair. Here's our music on a stick. And it's just kind of this shtick, if you will. So we have a really great time at our State Fair, but it marries agriculture, nature. The Department of Natural Resources has a huge pavilion where they have a fish pond with all different species of fish that you can just sit and watch, which is really lovely. We have several different music stages. Yeah, it's really special.
You must also have viewing of different animals and prizes, right?
Yes.
It's a traditional State Fair.
It is a traditional State Fair, and you get to walk in. My favorite is the chickens, especially the ones with the feathers on their feet, or the bunny rabbits. But you can watch them kind of compete. You can just walk through all the different barns and see them.
And then you stopped me in my tracks with chicken with feathers on their feet. Why do they have feathers on their feet? Or are they bred to be like that?
I think so. You know, I clearly haven't educated myself enough on the origin, but I do enjoy their presence
in a way,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Or,
that's very odd. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry.
But it's just a really unique experience, I think, for all of the visitors to kind of go there. We actually recently just saw a fantastic Instagram reel of somebody saying, you know, I don't want to go to Coachella. I want to go to the Minnesota State Fair instead. So if you are looking for the best like 90s acts or sort of classic rock, or even some, we've had some like Chance the Rapper's been there. We've had Nate Bargatze there.
Wow.
We've got, I believe, TLC is coming this year, and we've just got a lot going on at the State Fair, and there's really, truly something for everyone. You can literally get a corn on the cob dipped in butter, and just people are just eating. It's probably the best tasting thing at the State Fair, honestly. It's just the corn, fresh corn dipped in butter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. That's nice. So what other special events this year, or what other changes for people who go to Minnesota regularly? What will they notice has changed?
Well, I would say one thing is that we are becoming more and more a destination that is very multiple experience focused. So if you are looking for an urban experience and you want a little bit of nightlife or some big events, you know, the Twin Cities has really spent a lot of time cultivating fantastic experiences around sporting events as well as concerts. And so just really making people feel like they can spend a little bit more time there than just one night. But we also have so much to offer in greater Minnesota. One of the really special things, it's not an event, but it is an experience, is in Detroit Lake. We have the Thomas Dombo Trolls, which are made from recycled materials, and they are tens of 20 plus feet high trolls that were built out of like all of these recycled materials by volunteers. And they are situated in the Detroit Lakes area, and you can kind of follow a path to find each one of them. It's a little bit of a fun mystery. And so that is something that we encourage all of our families to do. And we've also seen, you know, with that, a lot of multi-generational travel. And that's a really great experience if you're going to kind of resort country in Brainerd or Nisswa or Detroit Lakes, and you can rent a resort for a week, kind of like those classic TV shows or movies that we've seen, right? Like Dirty Dancing almost, where you're there for a week in the summer and you get to go do all these activities with your family. So we've seen a lot of that. But when it comes to events, Minnesota continues to have some amazing events. We have WWE SummerSlam coming this summer, and we are very excited about it.
So that's wrestling.
That is wrestling, yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm not a fan, but, you know, it's fun theater, I guess, with the Guthrie, and you have the wrestling, too.
Yes.
Well, you've made me want to go back to Minnesota. Thank you so, so much, Lauren, for appearing on the Frommer Travel Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that is it for this week's show. I thank you so much for listening, and to those who are traveling, may I wish you a hearty bon voyage.
The channels seem the same. cannot help but wonder, are you ever coming home? I like you with your sour candy in the boathouse on the lake. But I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate. I hate the way it tastes. Oh, it's been so long. And I cannot help but wonder, are you ever coming home? When I see you with your sour candy, don't want it any other way. Oh, I just hate, I hate, I hate, I hate, I hate. I hate the way it tastes.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
If you want to travel more, ideally in luxury, but without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. I'm DeAndre Koch, and on Revolutionizing Your Journey, I use my unique vantage point as a financial advisor to break down exactly how my wife and I leverage credit card points and miles to fly business class, stay at five-star resorts, and take bucket list trips for a fraction of the cost. Each week, I share real strategies packed with actionable tips and interview some of the smartest travelers in the game to help you revolutionize the way you travel. Travel well, live boldly, and find Revolutionizing Your Journey wherever you get your podcasts.